Ah, show about nothing. You know, it was one of my favorite shows. As a matter of fact, I would plan a lot of my things around Thursday night just because I knew that you could turn it on, you could laugh for 22 minutes, and at the end of 22 minutes, you laughed and you went away, and when people asked you what happened the night before, you would say, nothing, right? You know, the thing is that this show was the number one rated show of its generation. This show went on to win incredible amounts of awards. This show was one of those shows, and I think one of the reasons behind the success of the show is because this show tapped into something that so many of us in the room have, and that is that we go through life thinking about nothing. I mean, you think you're just here to exist. You just go through, and tomorrow you're going to try to go back to work and do the things that you're supposed to do and try to take care of your family and try to do the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And to be quite honest, if somebody were to ask you a question about your future or ask you a question about what's the hope or the purpose and all those kind of things, you would come back to saying, well, you know, someday I hope to be here. Someday I hope these things happen. Someday I think this happens. And honestly, I'm so glad that we chose this as one of our shows, because quite honestly, I see almost every Christian person that I've met who, quite honestly, this is the value of their Christianity. They said yes to Jesus, and that was enough, and now the rest of my life when it comes to Christianity and how I live, how I grow, how I become a part of Christ more and more in my life, honestly, I have no idea how that happens. You see, this was one of the driving factors for us to choose Core 52 and to spend some time talking about the importance of God's Word and God's Word being inside of us. Because I know that for so many of us, we have this hunger or this longing, and we're saying there's got to be more to Christianity than just me saying yes, me saying going and get baptized, me just coming to church every Sunday, me just existing in the world that I always existed, and nothing changing about the stuff that I'm a part of. And the thing about it for so many of us is that I believe that this struggle is inside of us, that as followers of Christ, we have little sense or no sense of direction or purpose. And perhaps the greatest reason for us to understand that, one of the reasons behind that, is because as Christians, I think we struggle with the idea of the Holy Spirit. If I were to ask you a question and say, tell me five facts about God the Father, most of you in the room could look at your neighbor and say five quick facts about God the Father. You could think about it and say, oh, okay, I know this, this, and this. If I could say, tell me five things about Jesus the Son, you could look at your neighbor and say, oh, well, this story, I remember this, I remember he did this, he seemed to be this kind of a guy. But if I asked you to tell me five facts about the Holy Spirit, most of us in the room would begin to try to think through, and our thoughts and ideas based upon the Holy Spirit actually tend to center more around our upbringing and the church that we were a part of instead of the biblical foundation that is there. And why is that? Because I think we really struggle with this understanding or this idea of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, the word for the Holy Spirit was this word. It was a Hebrew word, and it's pronounced ruach. So turn to your neighbor, spit on their face, and say ruach, okay? Aren't you glad you sat next to the person you did, right? Especially after that third cup of coffee, you're kind of like, ugh, ruach. In the New Testament, the word for Holy Spirit was a word in which the P was silent, and it's pronounced pneuma. Turn to your neighbor and say pneuma. This is the Hebrew word for Holy Spirit. This is the Greek word for Holy Spirit, and they were found in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and the root of each word is the same. The root of each word is the word for wind. And honestly, I think the reason that we struggle with the Holy Spirit, it may be the same reason that the authors of the Old Testament, New Testament, when they would describe the Holy Spirit, would struggle, because most of us in the room, while we know about the wind, while you learn the wind in science class, and while you understand some of those things, while you watch television and you see the weather come on and they're saying, well, you got a front coming in from the west, and here's how it's coming in, it'll be here in this moment, you have watched enough times where people say the wind's going to blow from the west and you watched it switch to the southwest and no one could predict it, or you thought it was going to be a soft breeze and it was a strong wind and you didn't know what to do, and while we may have ways to be able to harness it, we cannot control the wind. As human beings, no matter what we do, we cannot control it. It is something that happens. It's there. It has effects. You've seen the effects of it, but you've never seen the wind. You may have had the opportunity to go to Florida or to go to Louisiana and see the effects of an incredibly strong hurricane, or go to the Bahamas and recently see those effects. But while you see the effects of the wind, no one saw the actual wind blow in. And part of the reason why we don't see the wind blow in is because we know that it's there. We know that it exists. We know there's a part of it, but you and I don't see it. And one of the reasons that the Holy Spirit for us seems a bit elusive is because God the Father, we can trace back and say, he's this and this, and he did this in the Old Testament, and we saw this. God the Son has a tangibleness to it where we can touch it and feel it. We say, there was Jesus. He was here. He walked on this earth. He was a part of it. He was part of the things that happened. I recently had the opportunity to be in Israel, and I got to see the places that Jesus walked, and we were there in those moments recognizing when Jesus was right here, and we pictured it. We felt it. We saw it. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, for so many of us, we've never seen it. While we felt the effects of it, we don't know exactly what it is. And so today, for the next few moments, I want to unpack this thing called the Holy Spirit. And if you're taking notes, I want you to open up your program and look inside, and you can notice the first thing, or if you'll look at your program there on the back, you'll notice the first thing is that Christians have the Holy Spirit in us. If you said yes to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. Think about that. Now, for some of you in the room, I get it that you're thinking, Pastor, I've never felt it. I've never really seen it. I've never really thought about it. I go to work every day. I hang out with my family. I do the things I'm supposed to do. I go shopping. I do the stuff that everybody says, but I've never really felt the effects of the Holy Spirit. I really don't know, but this idea that the Holy Spirit is in me, really? I mean, how does that work? Our memory verse for this week is found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And Jesus is getting ready to exit the earth. And as he does, he says to his followers these things. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This idea that the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and for every single one of us in the room, if you pause sometime in your life and you said yes to Jesus Christ and you said, Jesus, I submit my life to you, the Holy Spirit came inside of you and dwells inside of you. And there's probably something you never really thought about. And the first thing is this, is that the Holy Spirit in me is better than Jesus beside me. You ever thought about that? The Holy Spirit in me is better than Jesus beside me. You see, the problem with that is that Jesus had proximity, that Jesus lived in Israel, that Jesus spent his life in Israel. And while we see that, while we recognize that, while you read the stories of it, and you see these incredible stories, and you're almost like, man, I can feel, I can see it, I can recognize it, I know, there's Jesus, all those kinds of things. The truth of the matter is that Jesus could only be at one place and one time at one moment. And the problem is that if he can only be at one place and one time and one moment, that while he was there, he couldn't be in America. He couldn't be in Europe. He couldn't be in Africa. He was located in one place in one time in one moment. This is why Jesus would make this statement in John chapter 16. He would talk about the Holy Spirit in this way. He says, in fact, it is best for you that I go away. Jesus made this statement. It's best that I go away. Why? Because if I don't, the advocate, talking about the Holy Spirit, won't come. And if I do go away, then I will send him to you. Even Jesus knew that there was a time for him to say goodbye. Why? Because this movement of God was going to go beyond just a handful of individuals to all over the world. And you are a part of this movement. Jesus is beside you. You recognize that. But the Holy Spirit in you is greater than Jesus beside you. The second part of it is this, and I think we struggle with the Holy Spirit because we see the Holy Spirit as an it, and the Holy Spirit is not an it. We hear God the Father, and we have a picture of that because all of us in the room have fathers. And whether your father was a great father or a bad father, you have this picture of what God the Father is like. We see Jesus because we recognize this Jesus being beside us and understanding these things and recognizing the stories of this. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, something that we can't see, even something that in some cases we cannot feel, how in the world is this? And so you and I have a tendency to describe the Holy Spirit as an it. And when we describe it as an it, we separate ourselves from the reality of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us. Let me give you some insight into this. Did you know that the Holy Spirit can be lied to? You don't lie to an it, but the Holy Spirit can be lied to. In Acts chapter 5, verse 3, there's a story about a husband and wife who sold some property, and they bring it, and they're trying to give it to the church, and they only bring a portion of it, but they lie and say they brought all of it. Ananias and Sapphira is their name, and whenever they ask the question, there's this moment, and Peter's like, are you sure that's all of it? And they're like, yeah, and then boom, one of them dies. And so in Acts chapter 5, verse 3, it says this, Ananias, Peter says to him, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit, and you kept some of the money for yourself. You can lie to the Holy Spirit. Some of us lie to the Holy Spirit. We live a life apart from what we know. We tell people, I'm this person, this is who I am and what I'm about, and you try to create an image and an idea and a thought, and you go through your whole existence and life living as if this is it, and you know that isn't really you. The Holy Spirit can be lied to. Did you know that the Holy Spirit can even be grieved? You and I are grieved. You and I, when someone close to us dies, are grieved. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, Paul would write these words, do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he's identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can also guide us. He's not just some it that's out there, but there's a specific part of guiding us. Jesus would say in that same passage in John chapter 16, verse 13, he'd say, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. You see, this idea of being a guide and being a director and helping us and guiding us, the Holy Spirit is not an it. He can guide us. The Holy Spirit can lead us to different places. The Holy Spirit can lead us to different places. We find this in a couple of instances in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 2, verse 27, we see whenever Mary and Joseph had this little baby named Jesus, and in Luke chapter 2, verse 27, they needed to take him to the temple so that they could go through a ritualistic cleansing. And the day the Spirit led him to the temple in Luke chapter 2, it says, so when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law was required, that day, it says, the Spirit led him to the temple. Notice the Holy Spirit can lead us to different places. This is interesting for many of us in the room who go through life and make decisions about I'm going to go here and then I'm going to go here and then I'm going to go do this and this and this, and you look at your calendar and your calendar's so filled with stuff and you got all the things and you know who you're going to be with and when you're going to be with them and all those things, and there are those moments maybe in your life where you've woken up and you've said, man, I did not expect to be here in this moment and in this day, but the Holy Spirit knows that. I recognize this a lot as a pastor. Because I have schedules and things where people I've got to meet with and meetings and things that happen. And then oftentimes I look back on my week and I realize I had 35 things that I was going to do and none of them took place. But the Holy Spirit directed me to go in this direction to help this person or this family and do these kinds of things. We find this again in the book of Acts, the 20th chapter, with Paul. Whenever he says this, he says, "And now I'm bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me." Paul knew that the Holy Spirit was telling him, "You are going to go here, that this is a location that you're going to go and that you're going to be a part of. This is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not an it." And so the question that many of us ask is this: so then how does the Holy Spirit work in us? Well, there's two major ways that the Holy Spirit works in us. And the first way is he works in us through transformation. He transforms you into who you are today, into who God wants you to become. There's a couple of pieces with this, and the first one is through conversion. The moment that you said yes to Jesus, the moment that you agreed to say yes to Christ, that moment inside of you is a moment that God's Holy Spirit comes into you and indwells in you. Paul would say this in the book of Titus about this moment. He would say, he saved us not because of the righteous things that we had done, because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. When you said yes, you may not have known this. You may not have recognized this. You may have just said, "Look, I'm inviting Jesus into my life," but the Holy Spirit is there, and the Holy Spirit is saying, "Hey, I'm coming in, and I'm going to dwell, and I'm going to hang out with you, and I'm going to be right there." And this is why he concludes to say, he generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. If you said yes to Jesus, that's part of the transformation. There's a second part of this transformation, and we're going to talk an entire week about this in coming weeks, but the idea is about sanctification. And what sanctification is it's part of the growing up that happens, that the Holy Spirit does in you. Here's the thing. God doesn't want any of us to stay the same. He never saved you so that you could stay the same. He saved you for an opportunity for you to grow up in him. You see, for many of us, this is part of the idea of Seinfeld. We just feel like God saved me and I've accepted Jesus. Heaven's my reward and that's really all that I care about. And I'm not interested in the growth. I'm not interested in these kinds of things. And yet God sanctifies you by growing you up. And this is part of the transformation he wants to do in you. Paul would say it this way in 2 Thessalonians, "A salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy and through your belief in the truth." Makes you holy. This grow-up piece is a major piece inside of all of us, and it's part of the transformation that God wants to do inside of you. Now, the Holy Spirit isn't just there for transformation, but the Holy Spirit works through us and empowerment. It empowers you. Let me give you a couple of quick reasons of how it empowers us. Number one, it develops our character. You know, we should be different today than we were a long time ago. Paul talks about this idea in Galatians chapter 5. You probably have heard of the fruits of the Spirit. And the idea of the fruits of the Spirit isn't a growth one on top of the other. It's an idea that when Christ transforms you, you become more like him through these areas in your life. Paul's describing this idea of transformation that occurs in you, the development of the character inside of you. When he says this kind of fruit, the Holy Spirit produces this in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the concept for us is this, is that this grows in you. It grows in me. For many of us, we don't recognize the Holy Spirit. We don't recognize him living in us. And so the tendency is we try to work on these things on our own power. Any of you ever done that? I know I've been guilty of that. I know there's been times in my life where I've had habits that I wish I could overcome. And so I'm like, okay, well, I can work on the self-control thing, right? And so what do? You make a New Year's resolution. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to be better at this. And so you try. And then boom, something comes in and it tempts you. And then all of a sudden you give back into it and you're like, oh man, I tried so hard. Or maybe for you, the idea is patience. And I'm going to try to be a little bit more patient. And you're like, oh, I'm working on my patience. Okay, here's my year. This is my year of patience, and I'm going to work on it, and I'm going to be the most patient person. And what happens? You get there, and you get in a moment. You've had a rough day at work. You come home, and your kids are doing all kinds of stuff that kids do, and you just, like, all of a sudden, you lose it, right? You're like, ah! And then you realize, okay, the patience thing, I got to have to go back and try working on that again, right? Or the love meter. I'm going to try to be a little more loving. I'm so condemning and judgmental of every person that I meet. I need to be a little more loving. And we try this on our own. And this is why the scripture tells us in Galatians, this is why Paul would say, it's the Holy Spirit that produces this in us. If you're like me and you've had a major failure in one of these or more of these areas, and you're going, okay, tomorrow I'm going to jump back on the wagon and I'm going to try it more. Maybe it's time for you to pause and just say, Holy Spirit, I can't do this, but you can do this through me. See, this is one of the things that happens for so many of us, is that we just keep thinking, I can do this on my own. I can do this on my own. And we get to this place, that kind of empowerment doesn't work. Maybe the second one for many of us is that we're afraid of the idea of talking to someone about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit supports us in evangelism. You see, you get afraid of it because you're afraid that if you have a conversation, somebody's going to ask you the one question that you don't know an answer to. And you're like, oh no, they're going to leave me hanging out there and I'm not going to know how to answer the question. And you're going to have to look at them and say, I don't know. And you're afraid that that's going to be the moment that a person's going to bring a ball bat out and say, I can't believe it, you didn't answer my question. And it's never happened to any of us, but we believe that it will. Because you and I are trying to do this on our own. Listen to what Jesus says in Luke chapter 12. He says this, the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what needs to be said. You see, even his own disciples were struggling with this. He was getting ready to send his disciples out to do some teaching and evangelism. And he's saying, go out there and tell these people. And his disciples are like, but what happens? They're going to ask us questions. We weren't trained in the law like you were. We're not rabbis. We're not special people. We haven't figured all this stuff out. We haven't read it. And one of the reasons this year that we're going through Core 52 is for many of us in the room to have a deeper understanding of Scripture. And we go through and we say, God, I don't know. And Jesus says, guess what? That's the moment that the Holy Spirit will speak through you. I've had conversations with people about Jesus and their lives, and questions have come up that I did not in that moment have an answer except for this. God reminded me of something that he taught me years or months earlier, and the next thing I know is I'm sharing something with them out of Scripture that I could not possibly imagine having known going into the conversation. And God wants to do this in you. You see, we get afraid of this. We get afraid of these moments. And we're just afraid saying, man, I can't do this. You're right. But the Holy Spirit in you is better than Jesus beside you. Now, I want to conclude today and spend the last couple of minutes talking about a topic that I know many of you have struggled with. And one of the reasons that you may be sitting in this church is because you were part of a church where somebody walked up to you and they said, the Holy Spirit told me to tell you this, or this is supposed to happen, or they did something in the course of that. And you're saying, whoa, how does this work? And the question is, how do I know if the Holy Spirit is leading me? How many of you have ever had an opportunity, show of hands, where somebody has said something to you and they're like, hey, this is from the Holy Spirit? Anybody ever had that happen to them? And you're looking at them like, is it really? How do I know this? And one of the things that we can discover through Scripture, one of the things that we can discover is that you can have some understanding in this. And the first one is simply this. Being prompted by the Holy Spirit will never, number one, contradict God's word. If God's asking you to do something, and God's word is very clear about what it is that you're doing and how it's opposite of what God's going to do through you, then guess what? That's not the Holy Spirit speaking through you. For you to understand this, and this again is a reason why Core 52 is so important for us, because we want you to know the scriptures. We want you to understand what God's word has to say, because for so many of us, we say things like, well, God told me to do this. Did he really tell you to do that? Because scripture may be contradicting those kinds of things. A few months ago, I was having a conversation with a close friend of mine who felt that God had told them to sell their house and that they needed to buy a bigger house. In the conversation that I had with my friend, I just said, can I ask you some questions about that? And he said, yeah. And I said, let me ask you, and be honest with yourself in this. I really want you to know, I mean, maybe God is telling you to have a bigger house. And what we do is we love to attach spiritual things to it, don't we? I mean, we'll say, you know, he's like, because here's the thing. If we had a bigger house, we'd host a small group at our house every week. I was like, oh, that's great. That's great. And, oh, you know what? We'd have the youth group kids over. And I'm like, dude, you're stepping way out there right now. You know, nobody wants a dozen middle school kids running through their house. Oh, I will. And this friend of mine, we're very close. And I asked him a couple of questions. I said, you know what? I know this. I know that for you, you struggle with work in a sense that it guides your life above your family at times. Buying this bigger house, is that going to require you to spend more time at work to make more money so that you're away from your family even more than they're currently frustrated with you being away? He said, you know, I think maybe that's the case. I am. I said, you know, one of the things that I know that you struggle with, because you and I have talked about this, because I have some of the same struggles, is this idea of prestige and acceptance. And so a bigger house, does that give you more prestige and more acceptance? Is God going to be able to use that in you to grow you? Or is this something that God's going to separate you some because of this prestige and acceptance? You see, this idea of recognizing it when people say, God told me that I'm supposed to do this. God told me that I'm this way. God told me that I'm going to go here or do those kinds of things. More times than not, whenever you look at it and you look at God's word and you begin to discern it, you got to start asking that question. Does this contradict what Scripture says? Now, there's a couple of other pieces to this, and the first one is this, the second one is this, being prompted by the Holy Spirit will never be purely selfish. I've had individuals who've come to me and said, you know what, the Holy Spirit told me to tell you this, and what's going to happen in the end is that it will give them praise and not God praise. And you and I have this struggle inside of us. Now, while there may be some benefit and there may be some opportunity, but the Holy Spirit isn't going to say, you know what? I'm totally focused on you right now. I'm totally focused on you making sure that everything's right with you. The tendency here is that for most of us, we say, God told me that I need to do this. God told me that I need to go here. God told me that I need to be this. God told me that I need to go in this regard. And it is 100% purely selfish motive inside of us. And this becomes a struggle for us. The third one's connected a little bit to the second one, and it's like this. Being prompted by the Holy Spirit will usually cost you something. You see, this one has cost me moves in my life where I've had to pack everything up and move thousands of miles away from home. This has cost me opportunities in my life where I've really sensed that the Holy Spirit has said to me, hey, you need to go talk to someone. And I know that there's no gain in this for me to go over to somebody and God's telling me to give an encouraging word to them. And I'll walk over to them and say, look, I don't know you from Adam, but I'm just sitting there and I'm really sensing that God's telling me to tell you this. And so I just wanted to tell you that. And I've had the weird look from somebody looking at me like, dude, you are just one shy, you know, a few fries short of a happy meal. Something's not right with you. And I'm like, man, thank you, God. That was awkward. Thank you. You see, most of us, when we think of the Holy Spirit, we think that the Holy Spirit's going to, oh, he's wanting me to be blessed and raise lots more money. Maybe the Holy Spirit, you know, he's gonna make life so simple for me and so easy, and it's going to be a road that's just going to be paved with easiness and all those things. Several years ago, I had this happen to me in which I was in a prayer meeting with a group of friends of mine, and we were praying for one of our friends who was getting ready to speak at a very large youth conference, and he was going to leave the next day to go to this youth conference. And he invited a handful of us in, and he said, "Hey, guys, will you pray for me?" And we said, "Okay, sure, we'd be happy to pray for you." And so we were there, we were all gathered around the room, we were on our knees, and we were praying for our friend, we had our hands on him, and God said to me in that moment, one of the oddest things that I can remember God saying to me, he didn't speak to me regularly, but it was one of those moments that God was just laying on my heart, "You got to say something," and it took me like 15, 20 minutes into the prayer before I finally would be responding to this, because I was sitting there, God just kept saying, "Say this, say this, say this," and we were sitting there praying, and what God was saying to me was, "You need to tell your friend he's not going to be the one that speaks at this conference." And I thought, well, what is that? I mean, he'd been looking forward to this conference for years. That the moment that he got the opportunity to speak at this conference, he was so excited. And we've been praying for him, excited for him, excited with him. And I'm like, "God, why? What is this? What is this? What is this?" And after about 20 minutes, and we were sitting there praying, I said to my friend, I said, "Louis," I said, "I want you to know," I said, "it sounds weird, but I feel like the Holy Spirit's really telling me right now that you're not going to make it to this conference." And I remember my friend Louis saying, "Okay, just in case, that is accurate. If I don't go, then this guy's going to go. So let's have him sit down here and pray with me." And so together as a group, we laid hands on both him and the fellow that he said was going to be a part of it. The next day, he was getting ready to leave for the airport to fly away to this event. And as he was on his way to the airport, he received a phone call that moment, a few moments earlier, his father had a heart attack and passed away. He never made it to the conference. Folks, for you to understand that the Holy Spirit still moves in ways. His friend showed up at the conference. He spoke. People were encouraged, found Christ, began their walk with Jesus in some unique ways. But God understands this movement that happens. And for most of us in the room, we don't sense that the Holy Spirit is in us. We just go through life doing the things that we've always done. And if I were to ask you what's the goal for you as a Christian, you wouldn't even know what the goal is. Why? Because much like Seinfeld, you're living a life about nothing. The Holy Spirit is right there, leading you, guiding you, growing you, working in you every single moment of your day. And there are times and opportunities that you don't even know that he's working in you, but he is. There are times that things have happened and you thought, "Why did that happen to me?" And the Holy Spirit was right there making it work. There are times that you thought, "Wow, how in the world could this be?" And the Holy Spirit's right there with you, guiding you. Even today, if you're saying, "Man, I've not felt the Holy Spirit," you need to know, like the wind, he is still there. He's present. And for some of us, maybe today is the day that we ask him to show up again. Maybe today's the day that we trust him one more time. Maybe today is the day that we say, "Okay, here's the thing. I'm going to go after you. God, I want to pursue you. Holy Spirit, I want you to guide me." You see, for many of us, we only want those things when they are going to benefit us. And the Holy Spirit wants to use us to make a difference in the lives of the people around us. Let's pray. Jesus, your Holy Spirit is present in this place. God, we just sang the song a few minutes ago, "Lord, I need a move. We need a move." And God, for so many of us, we sing that song with a sense that what is that move? How does that operate? How does that work? God, we have treated your Holy Spirit as an it, as something that's separate. God, there have been times that we've manipulated your Holy Spirit, that we've tried to make your Holy Spirit into something that it's not, that we've created something out of nothing to say, this is the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we knew that in it, it was about us. And so Jesus, forgive us for those moments. Holy Spirit, forgive us for the times that we've grieved you. Forgive us for the times that we've not allowed you to develop the character in us to become more like you. More filled with love and joy and kindness and peace and patience and gentleness and self-control. And God, I just pray that in these moments that each of us would recognize that Christ, you are in us. And that your Holy Spirit is what guides us and directs us and what lives in us every single moment of our lives. Jesus, we pray this in your matchless and holy and wonderful name. Amen.